So our Spotlight UK artist this weekend is from Glasgow and he's called Charlie Harrigan. And I've got him on the line with me now. Hello, Charlie.
Good evening, PJ.
How are you doing?
Well, I've got cabin fever like everybody else, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for taking the time out to join us this evening. So obviously, cabin fever, a result of the coronavirus pandemic. Do you want to tell me what you've been doing during lockdown? Been busy?
I guess, like everyone else, 2020 has been a bit of a disaster.
Yeah.
You know, I had work in Denmark, Netherlands, Canada, and even at home. You know, the Edinburgh Festival, Mullican Town Music Festival, all cancelled.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess what I have been doing is I had intended during 2020 a more complex studio album, and even that's kind of gone by the wayside.
Okay.
Although it's fair to say that it has given me a lot more time to afford to pre-production, so I've got kind of carried away with myself.
Okay.
And calling in a lot of more friends this time. The last couple of things I've done is, it's a bit sparse. It's almost, I could be sitting in your living room.
Right.
And, you know, that was intentional. I guess I disappeared for a little while. And then a few years ago, 4 years ago or thereabouts, I decided to have a heart attack and major heart surgery.
Wow.
And I promised myself when I was lying in a trolley, about to get wheeled in for the business to get done, that that if I got well, I was going back to making music. So that's what I've been doing.
Okay.
But that's a wee bit hasty. And what I've been doing in 2020 is trying not to do the same old, same old. I feel that folks today, certainly the young folks, whilst the that I might have a newer, a modern message, young folks, and on the main like to hear it from young folks. So I've tried not to sound too dated or be something I'm not. Guess that's what I'm trying to say. So I've tried to be kind of clever. You know, so one track that I'm working on at the moment that I really like is it's a male-female duet. Obviously, I'm not doing the female part, but it's quite interesting in that the female part has a bit of a Celtic feeling, the instrumentation, okay. And in actual fact, the female sings in Gaelic,
right?
Whilst the male part is augmented by some pedal steel and more of a sort of country feel to it.
Right, right, okay.
So it'll be interesting to see where that all goes.
Yeah, so obviously, I know you said you're working on that at the moment. Is there going to be something coming out very shortly, something new?
No, not shortly. I think 2021 will be very fluid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd like to get something out there, and I'd like to get out and play, so there's maybe a few festivals.
Yeah.
Try and do the Fringe again. The Mullican Town Music Festival is... it's quite unique. I love doing it, you know, and I can meet up with some interesting friends, apart from guys that I've known for 100 years. you meet new guys, like I became friends with a guy called Scooter Moose.
Okay.
He lives in Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
All right.
And he's probably first call on banjo duties for the sort of the recording guys there. So it's all that kind of stuff. I guess I'm looking forward to just getting talking to people face to face and getting back in the land of the living. Yeah,
absolutely.
So I've been kind of loose. So I have no target release date. And whilst you can do a lot of stuff remotely and, you know, shuffle digital files around the place,
mm-hmm.
I do want to get into a studio with some players. So we just need to wait and see what the next few weeks bring up.
I was actually going to touch on the whole digital era and whether you're able to obviously mix with other musicians. You mentioned Scooter from Muscle Shoals there. Are you able to liaise and do your own bit and then send it on if you've got the facility at home to do all that?
All of these guys, you know, the world is a small place.
Yeah.
And you know, most of these guys have the facility to be able to do things. But what I'd rather do with Scooter is wait until the summer,
okay.
And If I can, depending on the timing. But if he's going to be here for the Mull of Kintyre Festival, we'll find some time. We'll get in the studio when he's in the country and do it then. But almost everyone now has a digital facility. And whilst it's great and it's been a saviour for a lot of people in recent months, it's not the way I like doing things.
Sure.
I mean, I'm kind of old-fashioned even in recording. I like doing a lot of things live.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't even bother with a click track, which if you listen to my stuff, that would become glaringly obvious at times. But it's fun. It's fun, and it does make things more accessible.
Yeah.
But I haven't hung my hat on it, and I'm not doing an online show every week. And, you know, I feel for a lot of people. I'm kind of lucky in that I wasn't living hand to mouth.
Right.
So, there's a lot of my friends are, you know, just getting by and being able to do something once a week and get a few drops in the tip jar makes a hell of a difference.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I mean, I know that the people that I know, that there's two main reasons for doing it. A is their own sanity. I mean, some people do have other jobs as well. But they do it to keep themselves sane and go out to still do what they love to do. And on the flip side, you've got people who it is their main source of income and they do rely on it. So, yeah, absolutely credit to them. It's a whole new venture for a lot of people as well. They might not all be up on the technical ways of doing things. So to see so many people out and doing that as well, I think is definitely a good thing. They've used the time wisely. And it's
I know a lot of people that, you know, all they had to live on was the recordings and the live performances and mm-hmm. and how they can make any money from recording material nowadays, I have no idea.
No, it's...
In fact, I very happily opened up my November's digital streaming or whatever it is statement. And last month I made the glorious sum of £13.41.
Yeah, it's. I know there is a massive portion does go to the companies that obviously have the infrastructure in place to provide the streaming platforms like for Spotify and Apple Music. There's very little amount from that does actually go to the songwriter
and
the musician themselves. Yeah, it's you've got to be doing tens of thousands of streams to make it pay. Really, it's. But at the same time, I guess it does get your music out there as well.
There's a whole argument on that, and I think what will have happened after we get back out here and what's happened with the pandemic, it will be a whole new way of doing things. And realise that just imagine the last 9 months if you had no music to listen to.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, driven you nuts.
Absolutely. So take us back a few years then, just one or two. How did you get started into music and playing the guitar and songwriting?
I go back late 60s. I got my first guitar.
Okay.
In the early 70s, I was befriended by Alex Campbell, who might be known to some of your older listeners.
Was that was he a wrestler?
No, he wasn't. The reason I'm having a right good laugh at that is that he was great for getting himself into trouble, was Alex Campbell, but he was also known on the continent as Big Daddy.
Big Daddy, yeah. I did actually read up on that. That's why I said the wrestling thing.
Yeah, so, no, he wasn't a wrestler, but that, I'm going to write that down and use that. That's really...
You're welcome.
No, Alex was very much at the forefront of... folk revival in the 60s.
Okay.
But if you go back even further than that, you know, when I was still at the school, not even the big school, Alex was busking in Paris and sort of teamed up with Ramblin' Jack Elliott and Daryl Adams. And,
right.
And in subsequent years, I became friends with all of these guys. So I guess in the 70s, I was in the army in these days, and I got quite involved or very interested in folk music then.
Right.
And when I left the army in the late 70s, I emigrated to Canada. And it was there that I got sort of hooked on the sort of country side of things. Not so much country and Western as such, but good honest country. I even remember meeting Ian Tyson and In fact, we didn't live too, particularly too far from Ian. Ian has a ranch, Longview, out just south of Calgary.
Okay.
And my ex-wife is from Medicine Hat.
Right.
So that was all very interesting. And I guess through the 80s and 90s, it was at my busiest. But I spent a lot of time in Scandinavia, teamed up with interesting people like Tommy Joe White. Tommy Joe White being a different guy from who you may think. But Tommy Joe White was, his band was called Summer Cookin' from Alabama.
Okay.
And how I ended up getting, rather than just a passing, how's it going, I got really friendly in it. Their piano player was a big sort of Grizzly Adams looking guy called Jimmy Glasgow.
Right.
So these guys used to play the Lone Star Cafe in New York. And Jimmy Glasgow had these Glasgow's Miles Besser stickers plastered all over his piano that I had sent him over. There's all that sort of stuff. And then I guess through the 90s, I just kept plodding away at it.
Yeah, sure.
And I could bore the pants off you with stories.
Well,
going to LA and trying to get Ray Cooder to come to Glasgow. And
you've certainly been about a bit over the years. I do know that. When it comes to writing music, who would you say would be your main influences are? Who do you draw the inspiration from?
Oh, well, I mentioned one guy that I just love his songs, is Ian Tyson.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's that kind of stream, that sort of rebel cowboy without the real show business side of it. So Ian Tyson and the Ramblin' Jack Elliott of this world. Right. And Jack's more of an interpreter than a writer, I guess. You know, the stuff I do is still very much got a little kind of folky thread, although there's more of a country feel to it nowadays. Another guy that I really love his stuff, but he's probably not that well known to you guys either, is a Canadian country singer called Murray McLaughlin.
Okay.
You should go look up Murray. He's a very interesting character. You know, he's something like 11 Juno Awards. He's major hits in both Canada and the US country charts.
Right.
The interesting thing with Murray is he was actually born in Fergusley Park, Paisley, which is not too far from me.
Right.
But he was taken to Canada as a five-year-old. And the rest is history, I guess. Murray McLaughlin stuff I absolutely love. In fact, the most recent recording I did a little EP called Le Cowboy Écossais.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Well, there's two things I'm into. So, you know, why is it called that is one, which I'll come to in a minute. And the other is, I think the first track is a farmer's song. And certainly in Canada, in country music circles, a farmer song, everybody knows it.
Right.
But it was written by Murray McLaughlin way back in the 70s. And I did it last year, and I ended up digitally putting it out there, and the proceeds went to one of the food banks in Paisley where Murray was born.
Right, okay.
The Cowboy Écossais that I mentioned, Alex Campbell, Big Daddy, not the wrestler. And in the 50s in Paris, when he was hanging about with Jack Elliott and Dennis Adams and these guys, he dressed in cowboy boots and denim jackets and jeans like these guys. And he was christened, was given the nom de plume, the Cowboy Écossais.
Right.
And I guess it was a mentor for me for a while, but he's been long time dead as Alex, but I haven't forgotten just what a big man he was, not just physically, but the sort of influence he had. And whilst he might not have been the greatest of singers or players, he could handle an audience like you wouldn't believe.
I know Le Cowboy Écossais was your recent EP from last year, and before that you had Wasted and Wounded album back in 2016 and the hit single Morning Train as well. Is there anything forthcoming? What have you got plans for the sort of months and year ahead?
There is an album in the offing, as I said. It's yet unnamed, although the core of this male-female duet that I told you about, where the female part, which is a sort of question-answer thing, It's the guy telling his part. And it's based on a song from another old friend called Bruce Phillips, or better known as Utaf. And the instrumentation here is a bit more Celtic, so there's a sort of harp in the background and a bit of tug of heartstrings fiddling thereabouts. So
right.
We're working on that, and that's the kind of feel, the kind of theme. Beyond that, it's all in the mix. There's a couple of things I've written. Don't know if they're good enough. So it's all kind of fluid. I'm almost frightened to make any plans for 2021, to be honest.
I think there's a lot of people of the same ilk at the moment. It is an unknown, isn't it? Particularly after the year we've just had. But I guess it can only get better.
I think in January we'll congratulate ourselves for still being alive.
Well, yeah.
Hopefully get a vaccine.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be a little bit earlier than a lot, being as I'm an old yet. As I've said to everyone, I'm stripped ready for action. I just don't know where the action is.
Yeah, I guess time will tell. Obviously, I certainly wish you well. Obviously, you've got the Wasted and Wounded CD from 2016 and the EP recently released, and obviously stuff you're going to be doing in the future. Is your back catalogue available on all the usual streaming platforms and everything as well?
They are.
Sorry, well, Charlie, it's been great chatting with you this evening. The Simon Large show at the weekend that follows mine, he's given away some of your music in the lyrics competition as well. And we can enjoy your music in most hours across the weekend this weekend.
Yeah, that's absolutely superb.
Great stuff. Well, I certainly wish you well in whatever 2021 has in store. It's got to be better than this year. So
sit up
and stay positive, and hopefully, you never know, we might even get to see you on the road sometime towards the end of the year.
Well, that would be nice too. I mean, one of the things I'm delighted about UK country radio is it's a different audience from what I have addressed historically.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be nice to play to different people in not necessarily different places, but certainly to different people.
Yeah, well, we certainly do have a diverse group of listeners across all age groups and backgrounds. So you're certainly going to be hitting a lot of ears this weekend.
Good.
Great stuff. Well, Charlie, you take care. And as I say, hopefully we'll see you out there somewhere.
Okay, PG. Thanks very much.